Marriage by Susan Ferrier, dramatised by Patricia Hanna. Episode 1, North.
Courtland House, London, August 22nd, 1794. Madam, you speak of love. Fiddlesticks! What the devil have you to do with a heart, I should like to know? Love is a nonsense for the canaille. It is all very well for a ploughman and a dairymaid to marry for love, but for a young woman of rank to think of such a thing.
Henry!
Juliana!
Plebeian!
Henry, is Gretna Green nice? Will I like it? Oh, Henry, say you will always love me.
Juliana, my angel, I will love you forever. My heart is yours till all the sands gang dry.
The dust is making me cough. Close the carriage window, Henry. My Hector.
I'll suffer no daughter of mine to play the fool with her heart, indeed. She should marry for the purpose for which matrimony was ordained amongst people of birth.
Money, position, I have sacrificed them for you, Henry. Papa will never forgive me. I am lost.
Oh, don't cry. How could Lord Courtland not forgive the most adorable daughter in the world?
I pray you are right. Oh, give me a kiss, my darling Cupid, my sweetest Psyche.
Oh, blast these dogs! Why did you have to bring them?
For the aggrandizement of a family, the extending of their political influence, for becoming, in short, the depository of their mutual interest. These are the only purposes for which persons of rank ever think of marriage.
I could have married Lord Longreach as Papa desired. I meant to make him get a wig and cork his eyebrows and have a set of teeth. He was so very, very old and ugly.
If he were as old as the devil, and as ugly too, the Duke of Longreach should have been your husband. No such mighty sacrifice, methinks, when we paid with a ducal coronet, the most splendid jewels, the finest equipage, and the largest jointure of any woman in England.
You will reign forever in my heart, my Venus, and soon I shall be your Vulcan. See, our journey is almost at an end.
You have set my ambitions at naught, and now I set you at naught. From this moment, I have no daughter.
Let me help you down, dearest Juliana.
Is this Gretna Green?
I am Madame George, Earl of Courtland.
And the blacksmith is to marry us?
It is very romantic.
It is very dirty. I had imagined it somewhat different.
Mrs. Henry Douglas, my little wife, dearest.
My dearest husband, oh dearest, oh dear. Cupid, what have you done? And to Elizabeth, to les exiles de Sibérie? Naughty, naughty.
Here is a letter come from General Cameron.
Did you fetch my shawl? Your little Juliana is very cold.
Yeah.
And the newspaper? Oh, at last. News of London. Weeks and weeks in this Gretna place. It is so stupid and tiresome. I long to know what is happening in the world.
Are you listening, Juliana? Angel? General Cameron writes that as I have seen fit to marry without his knowledge, he assumes I no longer have need of a guardian. He has disinherited me, stopped my allowance.
Henry, you are in the times.
What? Let me see.
Leave it be. Let me read it. Oh, you have been deprived of your commission for being absent without leave. You must write at once, Henry, to let them know when to expect you back.
Oh, damn General Cameron! Damn the army! They've left me without a penny! Damn these dogs! Oh, get off me, you brute!
Oh, Cupid! Psyche! My darlings! You brute! How could you? Will you kick me too? Home! Father! The Duke of Longreach! All lost for the sake of a penniless brute!
Damnation!
Dearest Henry, what are we to do?
Oh. I'll take my darling girl north.
to my home. We can spend the winter there, and I shall speak to my father about an allowance.
North? To the Highlands?
Yes, to Glenfern Castle.
The Highlands, how lovely. The Duchess of Millshire declares nothing is as delightful as the style of living in Scotland. The people are so easy and engaging, so frank and gay. Everyone I know says the country is charming. And a castle. Tapestries and pictures and armour. Oh, I shall feel quite at home in a castle.
I haven't seen it since I was a boy, but I remember how noble it looked, set amidst heather-covered hills. We would go sailing on the lake to some lovely spot and picnic and dance on the grass.
How delightful! There will surely be a ball to welcome our arrival. We must leave tomorrow, Henry. Go now, tell the landlord we are leaving tomorrow.
Or later, my sweet. Let me just...
Oh, confound these dogs!
Henry, I'm cold. Shut the window. Cupid and Psyche do not smell. And the sleet is blowing in. Where are we, Henry? Glasgow? What odd-looking people. Will the Highlands be much further? Will the people be more picturesque? Henry, you must not be angry. I had to buy this angelic macaw. It's such a little thing. Don't make such a fuss, Henry. Mr. Macaw would not have bitten you if you hadn't tried to catch him. What a horrible black lake, Henry. Look! And that bleak tower. Good God, what a scene. What ghastly mountains like broken teeth. We have stopped. Oh, tell the driver not to stop. It makes me sick to look at it.
Why have we stopped, driver?
For heaven's sake, bid him drive on.
What's that you're saying?
What is he saying? Oh, what is he
Impossible.
Saying?
Impossible. You must be mistaken, my man. Why, what's become of all the fine wood that used to surround
used to?
It?
Used to?
Well, surely that can't be it.
Can't be what, yes. Henry? You must tell me.
Well, it seems our journey is nearly ended. The fellow persists in asserting that that is Glenfern. Oh, I can scarcely think it. If it is, it is strangely altered since I left 12 years ago.
Oh, no, 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 it cannot be. You have deceived me, brought me to this desert to die. I shall go mad. Pull down the blinds. I will not look at it. Oh, oh.
Henry's
home. Oh, he's so handsome.
It's so brown eyes. Aunt Jackie, he's got brown eyes.
And why shouldn't he? All the Douglases have brown eyes.
Great Aunt Elspeth had blue eyes.
But she married an Englishman, as you very well know, Grizzy. You merely contradict me to draw attention to yourself. Oh. Nicky, don't push so.
I think I smell my broth boiling away in the kitchen. It'll be spoiled.
Here's our Henry come home at last. Welcome, my son. Welcome back to Glenfern.
It's kind of you to have us stay, Father.
Remember your aunts, Jackie.
Aunt Jackie.
Henry.
Grizzy. Aunt Grizzy.
Oh, dear Henry, we're so happy. Oh. Lady McLaughlin will be so
and
happy.
And Nicky.
Oh, Nicky.
Oh, there's broth all ready for you if it hasn't boiled away.
And the girlies, your sisters. Belle, Becky, Betty, Babby and Beanie.
Oh, Belle.
Henry.
Becky.
Henry.
Betty.
Henry.
Babby.
Henry.
Beanie.
Henry.
Father, Juliana and I...
Juliana!
Lady Juliana, a thousand welcomes to Glenfern.
Lady Juliana Douglas.
Oh, from London.
It was...
Veiled and lady.
Oh, what's it? Tears. You're not frightened for our Highland hills, my lady. Now, come on, cheer up. You'll find as warm hearts among them as any you've left in your fine English policies.
Warmer, I'll be bound.
Oh, yes. Much warmer.
Welcome, dear Lady Juliana. Dear sister.
She has blue eyes.
Her hair's so bright, so golden.
Oh, look at her hands and her feet. They're so small.
Oh, the wee dogs. You could fit them in your pocket.
Children could have such a lovely time.
Henry, take me from this place.
Juliana, Lady Juliana is tired and emotional.
So emotional.
After so long a journey.
So long a journey.
I think perhaps she should rest.
Fever. It'll be fever. Let me feel your forehead, my dear. Fever.
Fever.
I'll take her pulse. fast. I think one of Lady McLaughlin's composing draughts would be the best
composing
thing for
Composing draughts at this time of day, I should think a little good broth a much wiser thing.
Oh, for heaven's sake, take them from me.
I am away to see to my policies.
Pick her up, Henry. We'll take her to your rooms.
Oh, be gentle, Henry.
Nonsense, she's not made of china. None of our girls has ever fainted.
What sort of bird is that?
A fancy crow.
Mind her head on the wall. The tower is pretty naturally now.
Mind your feet, Henry. The steps are worn.
Do you remember these turnpike stairs, Henry? You and Archie would slide down them on trees when you were boys.
Till Archie broke his head.
Oh, thank the Lord he has the Douglas brains. They weren't affected at all.
Here we are.
Your apartment.
Put her on the bed, Henry.
It's all well aimed.
The great bed of Glenfern.
Stand still, girls. You're like a herd of wild cows.
Open your eyes.
Oh, we tried to sip a little of this composing draught, my dear.
Juliana, my angel.
His angel.
Oh, kill me quickly and do not leave me to linger out my days and perish at last with misery here.
She's so poetical.
What ails the girl?
She is overwrought. The journey and her father has disowned her on account of our marriage.
Does he look more like Douglas of Glenfern?
Well, and there is also her condition to take into account.
Her condition?
What condition?
Her condition?
Yes, her interesting condition.
Oh, her interesting condition.
August! Next August!
Darling! You are a thousand times more welcome than before to Glenfern Castle.
And Jackie's make a speech.
Rest assured, nothing shall be wanting, dearest Lady
my
Juliana.
My covers will be your covers.
Consider this your future home. My sisters and myself will be as mothers to you.
Oh, never again will you be alone.
Oh!
And see these charming young creatures. Thank Providence for having blessed you with such sisters.
Oh! I should think rest and solitude would best help, and perhaps a little wine.
We shall go about our duties and leave you to your repose. Downstairs, girls. Busy. Nikki, downstairs. We dine at 5 o'clock, and don't trouble to dress, for we're not very dressy here.
We don't dress at all.
We are to be quite a charming family party, nobody but ourselves and Henry's brother, Archibald Douglas, and his wife. Alice is a most superior woman.
Superior?
Though she has rather too many of her English prejudices yet to be all we could wish. But I have no doubt, when she has lived a little longer among us, she will become one of ourselves.
One of ourselves?
I forget who she was.
A granddaughter of Sir Duncan Malcolm. He was one of the Canmore blood and very nearly allied to... And here they come. Here they come.
Juliana, my sweetest, stop crying. Tell me what you would have me do.
Oh, do let us leave at once, dearest Henry. Oh,
where would you go?
Anywhere. No matter where, so we do, but get away from here. We can be at no loss.
None in the world, as long as there is a prison to receive us. See, there is every sixpence I possess in the world, so help me heaven.
There is no more?
No more. You married me for love, or have you forgotten? Have you forgot the time when you used to declare you would prefer a desert with your Henry to a throne with another?
No, but I did not very well know what a desert was, or at least I had formed rather a different idea of it.
What was your idea of a desert? Do tell me.
Oh, I had imagined it a beautiful place, full of roses and myrtles and smooth green turf and murmuring rivulets and, though very retired, not absolutely out of the world, where one could occasionally see one's friends and give déjeuner et fête champêtre.
Well, perhaps the time may come, Juliana, when we can realize your Elysian deserts. But at present, I am wholly dependent on my father. You may be sure that the moment I can, I will take you hence. But for my sake, dearest Juliana, bear with it for a while without betraying your disgust. Will you do that, darling? See, let me kiss away your tears.
You know there's nothing in the world I wouldn't do for you. If you promise our stay will be short, I shall try to be agreeable.
Oh, my angel.
My cherub. Cupid, my darling, where have you been? And where is Psyche?
We had better dress for dinner.
But what shall I do?
I don't have a maid. I can't dress myself.
I'll send one of my sisters to help you.
A small one. I don't want to be crushed to death by great purple hands. I cannot imagine why Henry is so long away. I told him I would not be left with these old ladies.
Dear Lady Juliana, it is 12 years since the laird and my husband have spoken with Henry. You cannot begrudge him the few moments together after dinner.
Well, Mrs. Douglas, I think it very ill-mannered of them to keep us waiting.
I am knitting you some warm woolen stockings, Lady Juliana, to keep out the winter chill.
I have never felt the need of them.
Oh, you did not know you needed them. Look at the young lambs. See what pictures of health they are. I'm sure I hope, my dear niece, your children will be just the same. Only boys. But we are sadly in want of boys. It's melancholy to think we have not a boy amongst us, and that a fine ancient race like ours should be dying away for want of male.
Oh, here are the gentlemen. I must help Aunt Nicky with the tea things.
Oh, what have I said? It is a great sadness to us all that dear Alice has as yet been unable to provide Glenfern with an heir. We are sure you will have a fine, healthy boy, dear Lady Juliana.
I will take some coffee, Henry, if it has not grown cold with waiting.
There is no coffee.
Oh, they're too busy in the kitchen to make coffee.
I'll see to it myself.
You must not pay any heed to Jackie. She's a very sensible woman, which can be a great trouble to others.
Minnie, you are slouching again. Fetch the back brace.
She sees so plainly what is required. She is at times a little too decisive, but she is a great force for good amongst the poor and wears herself out visiting them and lecturing them on the iniquity of idleness. If you will excuse me, my dear, I must help Beanie with her buckles.
Here is your coffee, Lady Juliana. I shall put it on this little stool beside you.
Oh.
Has Grizzy tired you? You must not pay any heed to her. She is kindness itself, but finds it difficult at times to untangle her thoughts.
I can't understand it, Bea. You should be able to stand up. I've buckled the straps properly. Oh, look, I see what I've done.
Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Grizzy believes everything, most especially the opinions of Lady McLaughlin. Heaven, she'll cripple me for life if I don't help. Please excuse me, Lady Juliana.
No, no, Grizzy, do not tighten that one, whatever you do.
I see you have not drunk your coffee, Lady Juliana. Oh, no matter. You need not trouble yourself about Nicky's feelings. She does not want for sense, and I have allowed her the ordering of the kitchen and the cupboards to keep her occupied until I should be married.
You? Why, you're at least
2 and 40.
See, the shoulder straps are at the top and the ribbons are hard in place.
Oh, that must seem very old to you, child, but I assure you it is not until she is at least 40 that a lady has acquired the proper training and good sense for marriage.
And the other two?
Grizzy, alas, has reached that age without discovering an ounce of sense. Nicky will be 8 and 30 come March, and Beanie! Get up off the floor at once! Pull the one on the left, Grizzy.
I did pull it. Now I'm pushing it.
But you mustn't push it until you've slackened the other.
What? Dancing. Oh, dancing is all your paper. Coil, where are you, man? Oh, there you are. Give us a tune. Ah, my Lady Giuliani.
Oh, now. Reels of three on the sides. First muffled in and right shoulder to second thought. No, baby, right shoulder.
More cream, Archie?
Not on my herring, Aunt Nicky. I've finished my porridge.
Fish for breeze.
There's a heap of good sense in this, Archie.
What's that, Father?
This pamphlet here, Let Nothing Be Lost.
An excellent title.
It deals with the proper composition and dimensions of the most fruitful form of midden. We've been doing it all wrong at Glenfern.
We have employed the system at Gart Marley Cottage for some time. We make use of the local children.
In the midden?
No, Aunt Grizzy. They gather the various ingredients for the compost. and discover thereby the rewards of honest labour.
In the mitten.
Like the charms hidden champ at Tatties at Halloween.
C'est une grande habileté que de savoir cacher son habileté.
What's that about the halibut?
Mrs. Douglas thinks we should catch our own.
But Rab McNab brings the fish from Loch Marley. Should you wish halibut, Mrs. Douglas, I'll tell McNab when he calls.
Not halibut, Aunt Nicky. I said
haddock is much nicer.
Ah, here are Henry and Lady Juliana.
Good morning, Lady Juliana. Well, here, Nicky has some fine halibut for your breakfast.
Oh, I hope you rested well, dear Lady Juliana.
Bed was well aired, I saw to it myself.
Oh, but not too well aired, I hope. You had enough blankets.
And the window closed. The night air has a tendency to settle on the lungs.
Good morning, Lady Juliana. Come sit by me.
Here you are, lady. Fresh herring from Loch Marley.
Good heavens, what am I to do with this? Do take it away, I shall faint.
Oh, brother, brother, I beg you won't place any unpleasant object before the eyes of our dear niece, I declare. Was it the sight or the smell of the beast that shocked you so much, my dear Lady Juliana? Sure, I wish to goodness Lady McLaughlin was come.
Desire my gig to be got ready directly.
You're not leaving already, aren't you?
May we inquire the reason for this sudden resolution?
Certainly, if you are disposed to hear it. It is because I find there is company expected.
Is it that virtuous woman, Lady McLaughlin, you would shun a nephew?
It is that insufferable pest I would shun.
Okay, let him go on. Let him go on. Lady McLaughlin's character, luckily, is far above the reach of calumny. Nothing that Mr. Archibald Douglas can say will have power to change our opinions, or, I hope, to prejudice our nephew and Lady Juliana against this most exemplary, virtuous woman.
She has invented I don't know how many different medicines for Sir Samson's complaint, and makes a point of his taking some of them every day. Oh, but for her, I'm sure she would have been in his grave long ago.
She's doing all she can to send him there, as she has the other poor wretches before him with her infernal composition.
How many husbands has she had?
Three, and each counted himself blessed.
Oh, blessed.
Brother. Brother, I appeal to you. Sir Samson McLaughlin is your friend, and it therefore becomes your duty to defend his wife.
Truth, but I'll have enough to do if I'm to stand up for all my friends' wives. But Archie, you are to blame. Lady McLaughlin is a very decent woman, although she is a little free in the gab. And out of respect to my old friend Sir Samson, it is my desire that you should remain here to receive him.
Yes, Father.
Oh, I should like some muffin and chocolate.
You forget you are not in London, my love.
No, indeed, I do not forget it. Well, then, give me some toast.
Unfortunately, we happen to be quite out of loaf bread at the present.
Is there nothing within the bounds of possibility you would fancy, Juliana? Do think, love. Oh,
I think I should like some grouse or a beefsteak if it was very nicely done.
Beefsteak?
We must not forget, sisters, Lady Juliana's condition.
Oh, indeed, no, we could not forget that. We must indulge her every whim for the sake of the child.
Only think, sisters, what reflections we should have to make upon ourselves if the child was to resemble a moor fowl. Oh.
Or have a face like a raw beefsteak. Oh, we must go at once to prepare them.
A friend of Lady McLaughlin's had a chicken-headed boy on account of her going in want of a coddled egg.
There. I've hooked every hook and buttoned every button. Are you content with your new Abigail?
Dear Henry, I thought I would die laughing at your awkwardness, your great hands tying strings and sticking pins. Let me see how I look. This looking glass is so old and fogged, I can't see myself.
You are beautiful as ever.
But look at my hair. I cannot manage it without a maid.
You could wear it more simply, in the manner of Mrs. Douglas. There's a simple dignity in all she does that is most pleasing.
She was raised in London, don't you know? Hence her pleasing accent. Give me that comb, Henry. The one with the pearls, yes. Ah. She is a niece of Lady Audley. That's the reason she is not so disagreeable as the rest of them. Imagine having lived in the world, now contriving to exist here.
She seems most content with her existence.
But she did not marry for love, Henry. She married your brother because she could not have the man she desired.
Nicky, Jackie, come.
Oh, come and look, Juliana. I think Lady McLaughlin is arriving.
Oh, do let me see this glorious personage. Good heavens! Do look at the carriage. It is pea green. Is the person running behind it Sir Samson?
Only servants wear Highland dress.
Then tell me, pray, what is that alighting from the chariot?
Lady McLaughlin.
Flowered chintz! She is wearing a dress of flowered chintz. But why has she drawn the skirt through the pocket holes?
To display her worsted stockings.
Oh, the leather buckets on her feet. What feet? And how she towers over your arms.
She appears to be wearing a stupendous hat.
No, Henry, she is wearing three hats. A stupendous nainsook, prodigious brocade, and a little beaver perched on top. The servant is pulling something forth from the carriage. What can it be?
Another hat?
No, it is a small bundle.
There are little boots at one end and a large cocked hat at the other.
Is it a gift for us, Henry? An amusing china figure?
I think, my dear, I believe... That is Sir Samson McLaughlin.
Oh, do let us descend to view the sights.
Well, girls, so you're all alive, I see. Bring him in, Philistine. I always call my man Philistine because he has Samson in his hand. Set him down there, Philistine, in the easy chair and unwrap him.
Oh, dear Lady McLaughlin, allow me to introduce our beloved niece, Lady Juliana Douglas.
So, you're very pretty. Yes, you are very pretty.
Pray, sit down, dear Lady McLaughlin.
Why? What should I sit down for? I choose to stand. I don't like to sit. I never sit at home, do I, Sir Samson?
Oh, how very distressing Sir Samson's coughing.
Distressing, child? How can a thing be distressing that does no harm? He's much the better of it. It's the only exercise he gets.
Oh, I will indeed. If that's the case, it would be a thousand pities to stop it.
No, it wouldn't be the least pity to stop it. Because though it's not distressing, it's very disagreeable.
Oh, yes.
But it cannot be stopped.
No.
You might as well talk of stopping the wind. It is a cradle cough.
My dear Lady McLaughlin, how can you persist in saying so? When I tell you so often it proceeds entirely from a cold caught a few years ago when I attended His Majesty. And
dear Sir Samson,
let him alone. Don't meddle with him.
Leave him to Philistine. He's in very good hands when he is in Philistine's.
Look at this pretty creature, Sir Samson. Oh, you really are a pretty creature, Lady Juliana.
Oh.
You've got a very handsome nose.
Oh.
And your mouth's very well.
Oh.
But I don't like your eyes. They're too large and too light. They're saucer eyes. I don't like saucer eyes.
Oh.
Why haven't you black eyes? You're not a bit like your father. I knew him very well. Your mother was an heiress. Your father married her for her money. She married him to be a countess. So that's the history of their marriage, huh?
Lady.
My love.
I want to be introduced. Lady Juliana Douglas, give me a hand.
Oh, please sit still, dear Sir Samson. Our sweeties will come to you. Don't take the trouble to rise.
Hey, come here, my dear. You're abler to walk to Sir Samson than he to you. That's her. You see? She is very pretty.
Zounds! What is the meaning of all this? My Lady Juliana Douglas, I am shocked beyond expression at this freedom of my ladies. I beg your ladyship 10,000 pardons. Pray, seated. I'm shocked. I'm ready to faint at the impropriety of this introduction so contrary to all rules and etiquette. How could you behave in such a manner, my Lady McLaughlin?
Why, you know, my dear, your legs may be very good legs, but they can't walk.
Lady Juliana Douglas...
See there.
Booted and spurred.
You see that leg strong and straight? Now, behold the feet of war.
The withered leg.
These legs were once the same, but I repine not. I sacrificed it in a noble cause. To that leg, my sovereign owes his life.
Well, I declare... I had no idea.
I thought always it had been rheumatism.
Story's a simple one, lady. And soon told, I happened to be attending His Majesty to review. His horse took fright, and I...
Talking never did!
nor never will agree with you.
Is there anything dear Sir Samson could take?
Could take? I don't know what you mean by could take. He must take what I give him. Philistine, the cook, St. John. First a spoonful.
Though it can only do you good, Sir Samson.
Second spoonful.
It's the best thing for him.
When you've finished, do things, Sir Samson. You may appear to meet my son, Henry.
How do you do, Lady McLaughlin?
The highest veneration
and
for
you,
Sir
Samson. Honored to meet you.
So, your wife fell in love with you, it seems. Well, the more fool she. I never knew any good to come of love marriages.
And you know my eldest lad, Archie.
Lady McLaughlin.
So, Archibald Douglas, your servant. Why, so long since I've seen you, you may be a grand father, for what I know.
Good day, Lady McLaughlin.
As for you girls, you'll never be grandmothers. You'll never be married, unless to wild men of the woods. I suppose you'd like that, for then you can go without clothes altogether. Now, you'd be much better without clothes than to put them on the way you do.
Well, children, really, what Lady McLaughlin says is all very true. At the same time, I declare there's not much to be wondered at. Oh, young people are so thoughtless. Poor lads.
Thoughtless? Thoughtless? Why, what are these girls to think about but lacing their stays and curling their hair? It don't signify what you wear.
Not in this place, it don't.
I say it don't signify what you wear so as it's clean and well put on. Mrs. Douglas, come here, my love. I haven't seen you these 100 years.
Your servant, Lady McLaughlin.
There's for you. I love you very much. You're neither a fool nor a hoyden. You're a fine, intelligent being. Philistine, wrap up Sir Sampson and put him in his carriage.
Surely, Lady McLaughlin, you...
Get along, my love.
This must be a mistake.
Well, there's no mistake in the matter, girls. I'm going home, that's all.
Going home.
Now I am ready. Say nothing, girls. You know my rules. Goodbye, girls.
Oh, Lady McLaughlin.
Well, God bless you, girls. And come to Lochmarlie Castle soon and bring your wits along with you. Have you put him in the right way up, Philistine? Check his hat is at the top.
Months and months and months and months.
Fine oatcakes, Nicky.
Not too much salt.
Not at all. If anything, too little.
Perhaps, sister, you could make a fresh batch before Henry and dear Lady Juliana come down
to breakfast. They always breakfast in their apartments, Chrissy.
Well, that's poor McGlashan gone.
McGlashan gone? Huh? Oh, impossible, brother. It was only yesterday I sent him a large blister for his back.
And I talked to him for upwards of 2 hours last night in the impropriety of his allowing his daughters to wear white gowns on Sunday.
My truth, that was enough to kill any man. Well, since then, McGlashan's gone like snow off a dike. Aye, it's an ill wind that blows nobody any good. Clackendow Farm falls vacant in consequence, and I shall offer it to Henry.
Clackendow Farm.
Right.
Excellent.
Right. Charming. Right. Delightful. Right. What will our dear niece say to this, I wonder?
Shh, here we come.
Good morning, Father. Good morning, Aunt.
Oh, good morning, dear, fortunate Henry. Oh, and you, sweet, happy niece.
Chrissy, and how are you this morning, dear Lady Juliana?
Very well.
I have volume 2 of Ferdice's sermons all ready for when you finish volume 1.
Do not trouble yourself, Aunt. I cannot read volume 1 as Cupid and Psyche have eaten it. So volume 2 is redundant.
Redundant? Lady Juliana, it is a pity you
what
don't
a pity
appreciate...
It is, as it was signed by the Reverend Fordyce himself.
Aye, well, if you're ready, Henry, I thought we might walk to the rookery and blast some of those brutes to kingdom come.
Mr. McCaw!
I'm right sorry about that, lady, but you should have kept the creature inside.
Oh, brother, who can tell what damage you may have done?
Oh, there's no living with you fine ladies. Are you ready, Henry?
Yes, Father.
Henry!
I won't be away long, my sweet.
I wanted Henry to have some conversation about Clerkendale Farm. McGlashan's gone.
Gone where?
To his final resting place. So the farm falls vacant in consequence.
And I hope I am to succeed to it?
Exactly.
What?
By my faith, but you have been downset. There's 3,075 acres of as good sheep walk as any in the whole countryside. And I shall advance you the stocking and steading and everything complete to your very peat snacks. What do you think of that?
Well,
the house is in a manner quite new, for it has never had a brush upon it yet. Watch your step here. It's riddled with rabbit holes. And now, sir, that you've heard of the outs and ins of the business, what think you your farm should bring you at the year's end?
I'm sure. I don't know.
Well, come, give a guess.
I cannot. I haven't the least idea.
I desire, sir, you'll say something directly that I may judge whether or not you have common sense.
I should suppose, that I imagine, I don't suppose it will exceed 700 or 800 a year.
Seven or 800 devils. By my faith, I believe you're a born idiot. £700 or £800. £700 or £800. I'll tell you what, sir. You're not fit to manage a farm. You're as ignorant as that cow. With good management, Clerkendale will produce you £200 and odd yearly. But in your guiding, I doubt if it will yield a half. However, take it or want it. Mind me, sir, that it's all you have to trust to in my lifetime. So you may make the most of it.
I'm much obliged to you for the offer, sir.
I will know more about it. Clerkendale is yours, as soon as I can put you in possession. In the meantime, you stay still at Glenfern, and welcome.
I feel very grateful for your kindness. But I'm, as you observe, so perfectly ignorant of country matters that I'm afraid I should make a bad hand of the business.
No doubt you would, if you were left to your own discretion. But you'll get more sense, and I shall put you on a method and provide you with a greave. And if you are active and your wife managing, there's no fear of you.
But Lady Juliana, sir, has never been accustomed.
Well, let her serve an apprenticeship to your aunts. She couldn't be in a better school.
But her education, sir, has been so different from what would be required in that station.
Education? What has her education been to make her different from other women? If a woman can nurse her bairns and make their clothes and manage her house, well what more need she do?
Yeah, but she dislikes the country, and the climate does not agree with her.
Stay a wee while till she gets to Clerkendale. There's not a finer, freer-aired situation in all Scotland. The air's sharpish, to be sure, but fine and bracing. And you have a braw peat moss at your back to keep you warm.
But...
And now, sir, give these black devils what for.
Have you no proper roads here? My shoes are quite ruined.
But those shoes and that silk pelisse are most beautiful. I mean, nobody can deny that. And I dare say they are the very newest fashion.
At the same time,
look at them. I'm just afraid they're rather too delicate for our roads.
Cupid! Psyche! Oh, those horrid fools are chasing them. Shoo! Shoo!
They're only young. I'm afraid your ladyship will frighten our stocks and stots with your finery. I assure you they're not accustomed to see such fine figures.
Now, Lady Juliana, this is reputed to be the finest view in the country. See, there's the Dander Burn, and there's Ben Crookland.
And then Henry. Henry! Come in!
Don't disturb the men while they're at their sport, my dear.
Henry! See, they're coming. Henry places me higher than a few old crows.
Here's the ladies. Lady Juliana looking quite
him.
The country woman already.
Can you see from his face?
He doesn't look happy.
Have you told him, brother?
Does he know if he's good?
I cannot go another step in this mug. Look at my shoes, my dress.
My little wild thing. My little
Lady
hoy.
Lady Clerkendale.
Oh, most fortunate woman.
Oh, Clerkendale and sheep and Henry.
Lady Clerkendale.
Aunt, I wish you would say nothing as yet.
Say nothing about what?
No, dearest. No money.
Live all my life in such a place. Oh, the very thought it is enough to kill me.
My damnation.
Brother!
There is no bearing this din. The crows are better company.
Juliana, calm yourself, dearest.
Sound!
Barton Feathers!
Robert Temple!
Lady McGlashan's hysterical! Oh, no one show me the
She's sulking, Mrs. Douglas.
She has a brain fever. She screamed so for Henry to come and take her away that I'm sure I declare, oh, dear Alice, I don't know what's come over her.
Go away! Oh, go away!
You see? Sulking.
I think it would be best if I speak to Lady Juliana alone.
Oh, but we could take her temperature.
Well, if you wait downstairs, I shall tell you if anything is needed.
Oh, I don't know if we should
really leave her. Don't go near me. Send Henry to take me away. I don't want anybody but Henry.
My dear Lady Juliana, compose yourself. And if my presence is disagreeable to you, I shall immediately withdraw.
Oh, is it you? I thought it had been those frightful old women come to torment me. And I shall die. I know I shall if ever I look at them again.
Oh, the only way in which you can be less miserable is to support your present situation with patience. No doubt your husband's family is often tiresome and ridiculous, but it is always kind and well-meaning.
You may say what you please, but I think them all odious creatures, and I won't live here in patience. I don't know how you can contrive to live here when you have lived in London. I suppose, like me, you didn't know what Scotland was.
I think it could be arranged for you and Henry to spend a few months with us at Gartmarley Cottage, if it would please you.
Oh, yes. Do go at once and tell Henry. Oh, you have a conservatory. How delightful.
You are very kind, Mrs. Douglas, to invite us.
Moss roses.
Poor Juliana finds my aunts and the condition
of the room. What we have is yours, Henry.
Oh.
And Lady Juliana. Lady Juliana, I must petition you to spare that, my favourite child. The rules of my little conservatory are sight and smell only.
Don't you like your flowers to be gathered? I don't know any other use thereof. Oh, what quantities I used to have from Papa's hothouses. This is really what I like. A large fire, open windows, quantities of roses, comfortable ottomans and pictures. I shall be quite content here. What a pity you haven't a large mirror.
I thought you were happy at Gartmarley Cottage.
I could have been if they had had a large mirror.
But even without a large mirror, there were a great many things to amuse you. A harpsichord.
Good heavens, it was so out of tune, there was no possibility of playing upon it. Quite shocking.
And Alice had an excellent selection of novels. Richardson, Smollett.
The stupidest books I have ever read. Not the French and German school to which I am accustomed.
But the lake was pleasant. Sailing on the lake was pleasant, was it not?
Not if one was seasick, and I have been horribly seasick for 3 months merely looking at it.
So you will be happy to be again at Glenfern?
Not at all. But if I must be bored, a castle is bigger than a cottage, and it may be I never have to see your aunts at all.
Well, I have spoken to them most particularly, and they understand they must leave you quite alone.
Oh, dear Lady Juliana! We are all prepared for you and the wonderful day to come.
A son for Glenfern.
Someone must inform our dear brother.
Yes. Twins!
Two. Well, well. Well done, Lady Giuliani.
Here. Well done.
Well done, everybody.
Henry, is it true?
Yes.
Two?
Yes, two.
Two boys for Glenfern.
No, Aunt Jackie, not two boys.
A boy and a girl, oh, what symmetry.
No, Aunt Grizzy, two girls. Lady Juliana has presented Glenfern with two fine, healthy baby girls. Two lassies. I've never heard the like of it. They'll be wanting to be married. Where's the money for the talkers to come from?
I must return to my dearest Juliana and my sweet, helpless little girls.
Oh, don't mention them. How very provoking. I hate girls, though, and two of them. Oh,
dear.
I see no cause for regret.
What nice little creature.
They'll turn out very well if I have the training of them.
Well, can you kiss them, Henry? They're so ugly, and they squall so. Oh, do, for heaven's sake, take them away.
We must find a wet nurse. Lady Juliana will not be able for both.
Wet nurses eat so much.
The two girls. Lady McLaughlin will be greatly surprised.
Lady Juliana wishes the eldest to be named Adelaide.
Now that one can have the wet nurse. I won't pay for the two of them.
Darling little Adelaide.
And the other one?
Poor little Mary. Your mother will grow fond of you. Soon.
I wish to goodness that child was gagged. It has done nothing but scream since the hour it was born.
I declare, I think the child is doing as well as possible. I mean, to be sure it does yammer constantly. That can't be denied. And it is uncommonly small. Yes. Nobody can dispute that. At the same time, I'm sure I can't tell what makes it cry, mm-hmm. for I've given it a teaspoonful of Lady McLaughlin's carminative every 3 hours.
Why, it's much less than when it was born. And its skin is as yellow as saffron. And it squints.
I've done nothing but make water gruel and chop rusks for it, and yet it is never satisfied. I wonder what it would be at.
I know perfectly well what it would be at. All this crying and screaming is for nothing else but a nurse, but it ought not to be indulged. 'Tis amazing how cunning children are. She wants to have her own way before she's a month old.
Poor little Mary. She does suffer so.
Suffer? Mrs. Douglas, what can it suffer? I am sure it meets with a great deal more attention than any person in the house.
Alas, what would I give to hear the blessed sound of a living child? And how great would be my happiness could I call the poor rejected one mine?
If you want the little screech owl, take it and welcome.
I cannot understand it. Adelaide is thriving.
Of course she is, Henry. She has a wet nurse, while Mary is stuffed with improper food and loathsome drugs and banded about from one person to another.
My poor child must have a mother.
Oh, my dear brother-in-law, do you then confirm Lady Juliana's kind offer? Indeed, I will be a mother to dear Mary and love her as if she were my own. And in a month, oh, in much less time, you shall see her as stout as her sister.
Juliana. Dearest, I have had a letter from General Cameron.
Who?
General Cameron, my old patron.
The nasty man that stopped your allowance?
Yes. Now, my angel, I wrote to him some weeks ago, described our situation, asked his forgiveness, and...
And?
He has sent me £400.
Good gracious.
Got me reinstated in my former rank in the Guards.
Good heavens.
And settled £700 a year on me.
£700 a year? Heavens! We shall be quite rich. I shall have a pretty house and such pretty carriages and give so many parties in London.
£700.
Fancy balls, opera boxes.
It's a very handsome income.
A little cottage at Twickenham.
£700.
If it is well managed.
A house indeed.
Horses, clarets,
£700.
Opera boxes.
Homes.
London.
Farewell to the mountains high covered with snow.
Goodbye, Father.
Aye. It's
goodbye, dear aunt.
Goodbye, Henry. I will write often with news of Mary.
Goodbye, Henry. I'm so happy for you.
I shall send the christening cake and...
Oh, goodbye, Henry. Goodbye, Lady Juliana.
Oh, yes, adieu, adieu.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Are chasing the wild deer and following the roe. My heart's in the highlands wherever I go.
And these are the latest patterns. This leopard skin will look very well in your ladyship's coach. It's an uncommon elegant article.
No, I will not see that old man this morning. I do not feel well enough.
General Cameron is my benefactor and the man to whom you owe the enjoyment of your favourite pleasures. It does not do to disregard him.
My new batch of Oriental china, your ladyship.
Please observe this choice piece. It represents a Chinese cripple squat on the ground in the act of begging.
6 months, and you have not yet written to your father. It is proper that you make an attempt to be reconciled to him.
Jade, from the collection of the Sultana of Turkey. See, it opens at the tail.
I have had a letter from my brother. Lord Lindor invites us to his wife's masked ball.
Damn it, I won't steal into your father's house. And how can you think of going in your condition?
Lord, my dear creature, how gothic you are. Do you think anyone cares? I shall go a la Turk in flowing robes.
Now, Captain Douglas, you won't find a better little mare in London.
Cash? Don't you worry about the cash.
General Cameron's heir don't need to worry about cash. You can cash up when he pops off.
Oh, Lady Lindor is the luckiest woman in the world. Such a splendid ball. Such a husband. So easy and good-natured. Lucky, lucky woman.
Have you seen this morning's paper? Lady Lindor hasn't been seen since the ball. It seems she's run off with her favourite, St. Ledger.
Run off? Belted with that blackguard St. Ledger?
What folly! When she had everything a woman could want.
Want? Want? What would I want from any son of mine? I want you to find him, Lindor. I want you to thrash him and make him pay. I want to see blood. Blood!
Father? Father?
Father will forgive me now. He'll want me now. Ah! Ah!
Juliana, dearest, is it the child?
Henry, I congratulate you on the birth of your son. By this time, 12 months, I hope it will be my turn to communicate to you a similar event in my family.
General Cameron to marry?
I am just about to march into quarters for life with a young woman.
A young woman?
Who is healthy, good-humoured and vulgar, since she is no connoisseur in China and never spoke to a pug dog in her life.
An old Cortland dead without a word to his daughter.
Your allowance will be remitted regularly until the day of my death, which is all you have to expect from me.
All? There's no inheritance?
Captain Douglas, a word, would you please?
Mr. Screw, I don't have time at the moment.
Captain Douglas, there's the small matter of some jewels.
And some china.
And skins. Leopard, zebra, tiger.
Mr. Sting, Mrs. Match, Mr. Sharpt, all here? Yes. I will put myself at your disposal tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow.
Henry! Oh, Henry!
How do you do, Juliana? And the, children?
Lord Cortland, my brother, help me. Everything's gone, seized by creditors. Horses, carriages, house, everything. You inherited everything from father. You must help us.
Nurse, take the, children up to the nursery. Emily and Frederick will like to see their cousins.
Oh, Henry has been arrested, taken to the King's Bench prison. We owe hundreds and hundreds of pounds.
My own affairs are somewhat involved. The late Earl, Lady Lindor. I myself have debts amounting, so I'm told, to £70,000. Oh, sit down, Juliana. You must not upset yourself so. These are mere trifles. The King's Bench is the pleasantest place in the world. Some of my own most particular friends are there. They give capital dinners. Capital.
And he will not be fed on bread and water and wear chains and sleep on straw?
It is the most desirable life imaginable.
No, then he is not so much to be pitied. Though I dare say he would rather get out.
And I shall obtain his release tomorrow. So now, dear sister.
Oh, yes. Have someone show me to my room. I am so very tired.
How could we have been so foolish, so selfish, to blight the prospects of these dear children? Dearest Adelaide, baby Edward.
Shh, Henry, you'll waken them. And they are such a trouble when they are awake.
But now we can start a new life together. Your brother has been very kind.
He has settled my debts and procured leave for me to exchange into a regiment of the line in India.
India? Henry, you must not leave me. I cannot live without you. I'm sure I shall die and you'll be seasick and grow so yellow and ugly and I won't recognize you when you come back.
Oh, my angel, of course I won't leave you. You will come with me.
What? But this is unbelievable. How can you be so barbarous and absurd to think I would leave all my friends and go to live among savages? After all I did for you, living so long in Scotland. Oh, no, I will never make such another sacrifice. Besides, how could I leave poor Cortland? He will never marry again. And who will take care of his dear children and educate them properly, if not I? It would be too ungrateful to desert poor Cortland after all he has done for us.
You put your brother's needs above those of your husband? Your own comfort above your duty as a wife? I tell you, Juliana, if I leave without you, you will never see me more.
If you must go and enjoy yourself in India, go. But please, don't waken the children.
Farewell, Juliana. Farewell. Forever.
In episode 1 of Marriage, Juliana was played by Fiona Francis and Henry by Stuart Macquarie. The Laird of Glenfern was played by Alexander Morton, Aunt Jackie by Anne Scott-Jones, Aunt Grizzy by Rose McBain, Aunt Nicky by Eliza Langland, Lady McLaughlin by Alison Peebles, Sir Sampson McLaughlin by Crawford Logan, Archie Douglas by Simon Tate, Mrs. Douglas and Babby by Ali Walton. Becky, Belle, Betty and Beanie were played by Jenny Ryan, Shona Price, Martha Leishman and Susie Maguire. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Marriage was dramatised by Patricia Hannah from the novel by Susan Ferrier and directed in our Edinburgh studios by Patrick Rayner.